Recording.
And what are we recording?
We are recording the 241st episode of the Quarantine Cast on March 12th, 2021. Knocking this one out a little bit early. A little bit early on a Friday.
I think we need to just dive right into it. Lucas, you're probably not aware, but something seismic happened last night.
Oh my God.
The previously 93-0 Detroit Lions may have lost their first ever game to one Andrew Clark-led Matt LaFleur Green Bay Packers.
I did it!
In the NFC Championship game, no less. So they will be heading to the Super Bowl. God damn.
I did it! And when it was done, I got a notification. Oh, I earned a trophy on PlayStation. I won my first head-to-head online game in Madden. A game that I've owned for 9 months.
Andrew, how did you do it? How did you overcome the odds? What led you to here? And don't you dare say it was because of God.
No, it was the fundamentals.
Oh, okay.
just short, efficient passes, decoy audibles, trying to bring guys off of routes, and efficient running, and also just finally being able to play somewhat respectable defense. And yeah, like not panicking and throwing 5 interceptions in a game.
You say finally being able to play respectable defense, but I think your defense didn't change that much. It's more just like I had long fields. You didn't have a single turnover all game.
Oh.
Like, most of the time, your defensive unit was, like, forced to play with a really short field. You didn't have a single short field all game. Like, you won the field positioning battle just objectively. So, I had a lot of drives where, like, I was moving the ball, but then I would sputter out because I had to go 80-plus yards every single time. And then, like, you know, somewhere around the other 30, I would start to sputter out and had to settle for a lot of field goals that usually would not have. And that was just, I maintained that that's the difference. Just not committing a single turnover was huge. It was a clean game. I don't think I did, too, until the last 25 seconds I threw that pick. So,
you had one fumble.
I had the one lost fumble, true.
Yeah.
The one lost fumble, which is just completely random. Like, that just happens in Madden, like, at random moments.
Well, I got you with the hit stick. I mean...
Yeah, I know, but, like, hit stick is completely... It's like a lottery. Sometimes
RNG,
you win, sometimes
definitely.
You miss. Like,
yeah.
It's completely random. So, yeah, it hit me with the hit stick, fumbled, and then at the very end of the game, I had a chance with, what, like, 30 seconds left to get down in scoring position with 2 timeouts, got one-on-one coverage with my 99 overall wide receiver against your, what, like 90 overall corner, and was like, well, this is as good a chance as any. Chucked it up, and that corner made a play, and that was the end of the game. So
yeah, Ryan scored a touchdown, or was it a field goal? I can't remember.
You held me to a field goal.
With like 40 seconds left in the game, and he went up by 2.
Yep.
And then... like after 1 or 2 plays, It was the first play. I caught a wide receiver in the seam, scored like a 70-yard touchdown, which Ryan peeled his guy off and said, "I'm just going to let you score so that I have time and to make a comeback."
Yeah.
And then
you caught the ball at like your own 45, and by the time I would have been able to tackle you, you would have been on my 45 with 3 timeouts and 30 seconds left and a field goal to win it. And I was like, doing the math in my head, like, this doesn't make any sense for me to tackle you here. Like, I'm going to just... And I kind of, like, made it seem like maybe I just took a bad angle or something, hoping that you would continue to run, and you did. But then, yeah, that was pretty much it. I got the ball on very first play, had a nice one-on-one with my wide receiver, which really rarely results in interceptions. Like, that's, like, probably a 1 in 10 thing that gets a pick, and probably, like, 5 out of 10 is a catch. So... You know, just
and then I reached up
gameplay.
And grabbed that ball with 20 seconds left, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah, didn't have the timeouts to stop you.
First of all, I'm thrilled to be doing this post-game interview right now. Hire me, The Athletic. Second of all, Ryan, question for you.
Yes.
What? What do you feel like is going on right now? Because some would interpret this as the end of an era in some regards.
I mean, it is no matter what, because I did the math, 19 times 4 plus 17 is 93. So I straight up won 93 games in a row in the NFL. Like, that, the NFL would ban me. They would not allow...
The NFL would shut down. There would be so many accusations of, like, cheating and, like, uncompetitiveness. The XFL would make a rise again.
Last season for my playoff run, I had Randall Cobb, the wide receiver, at quarterback for the majority of it. Like, it didn't matter who I was. I feel great. Like, I felt almost as excited as Andrew. I wish that it wouldn't have happened in the NFC Championship game. I wish it would have been a regular season game that it finally happened. But, like, it feels like, okay, cool. Like, now we get to start playing Madden. Now we get to scheme off of one another. We know that it's, at the end of the day, this is possible. I will say that Andrew played a near flawless game, and it's going to be very tough to replicate that. So I do think I'll still definitely have the upper hand for the near future.
Yeah, I know you said you didn't want to hear it, Lucas, but I think God had
I mean, but like at the end of the day, in our last regular season game, as you learned, Lucas, because we got really quiet about it and said like, oh, don't tell Andrew. Andrew was really close. Like, he played it tight and just, you know, had a couple of things go against him at the end and pulled ahead a little bit. But in the last game, he was close too. So it's just a matter of like where the breaks go. At this point, like, I think that, you know, I'm still going to have the upper hand and probably win 70 to 80% of the time. But, like, who knows, man? And as Andrew continues to improve, maybe we'll be head-to-head, like, just splitting the series and stuff. I will say that I want to propose that we go to All Madden now, because it's definitely, like...
moving the goalposts.
Not moving the goalposts. Like, it's not going to be fun now, like, just only playing for those couple of games if I know that I'm like a chance to lose them anyway.
If we said that to All Madden, I'm gonna go like 9-7.
You don't know that. Like, just fucking play it tight. It's clearly a focus thing. Like, there's no way you could play like that against me and then lose to this like CPU with that same level of focus and like energy. Like, you would not lose a game to the CPU if you played like you did last night.
Honestly, I think what it may have been was, a couple of days ago, Ryan said he found out that on like the free practice mode in Madden, you can set it to where just every single play is a random play. And so you play it, and you know, you play that play, and maybe it was successful, maybe it wasn't, and then it just switches to another one no matter what the next time.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try that out. I did that for like an hour. I just kind of got lost in it because every single play was new. And yeah. I didn't have the preconceived notions of this is a good play, this is a bad play, you know, this is the guy I want to hit on this play. I would just run the play, see who was open, and then try to hit that guy.
With no penalty for if you get sacked or throw an interception or something, you can just experiment and do whatever you want.
So I'm sorry.
So I did that for a long time and just, you know, did like 100 different plays. And then, yeah, once we, like, actually got into the game, I would just go through the suggested plays and be like, okay, I think this one is going to work. And then I wouldn't have that whole, you know, oh, this is the guy I have to hit, or, like, I have to hit him now. I just figured out who was open.
It was
and then
so good.
I'm sorry.
Like, I did the same game plan that I always had. Like, I lurked. I did all this stuff that I'm used to. Like, I'm like, who is Andrew looking for in this play? And tried to key in on him. And yeah, like, Andrew was making great reads. He would roll to buy time, find a guy completely wide open most of the time. He only forced like one pass all game. Like, there was only one pass all game that could have resulted in an interception. Like, every other pass was either open or like the guy clearly had a run and it'd be contested. So like, maybe he'd drop it, but it wouldn't be a pick no matter what. It was great. What were you gonna ask, Lucas?
I'm sorry, Andrew. So you're more or less saying that the key to your victory, the key to your success, was practicing.
I he did kind of phrase that as like, Ryan told me about this cool new feature a few days ago. I'm like, practice. I definitely told you that when we first started playing.
Well, no,
this
thing you could do. I have done the free practice before. Like, I've done that before. I've practiced plenty. But what I always did was I would take what I had designed in my head as money plays or situational plays and tried to perfect those, you know, 10 plays, which has not worked out for me. This gave me the opportunity to just try every single play in the playbook and figure out, okay, this works, this doesn't.
Or yeah. Also, what playbook were you running?
I was running the Raiders playbook.
Andrew's a big John Gruden fan. John Gruden delivered him a fucking Super Bowl berth. It's not bad to say that.
Never before has a man gone from the people's champion to a heel so quickly.
I ran for the Packers with a Packers playbook for 4 seasons, and it just wasn't working for me. And I went on a couple of Madden forums, and I found that, you know, if I wanted to run the ball a lot, playbooks like the Saints and the Ravens would be kind of the way to go. If I wanted to throw the ball like most of the time, I should probably go with the Patriots playbook. And the Raiders playbook just had the best playbook for if you wanted to run and pass the ball basically evenly. It's a very balanced playbook. My best player is definitely my running back. I like running the ball a lot. I have a lot of success with that. I like throwing the ball to the running back and tight ends on like flats and shallow crosses and all that kind of stuff to get them open. So like I just thought the Raiders playbook was the best way to go.
And it's honestly, a very old-fashioned playbook. Yeah. Like it doesn't have many crazy reads and stuff like that. It's just straightforward.
Maybe what I needed was a simple playbook. And honestly, that's what it is that John Gruden is not a creative play caller. John Gruden is stuck in 1998. But maybe that's what I needed. I needed to slow the game down.
No, it's definitely what you needed. When you first mentioned the Raiders playbook, I'm like, oh yeah, that'd be great for you. It'd have a lot of fullbacks. You'd get a lot of like space for your running back, like lead blocking, which, you know, gets you into the second level, which is all that really matters in Madden. Like, you know, it sounded like a great idea. I was like, yeah, that seems like it might be your jam. Then you lost like 4 games to the CPU this year.
Yeah, that's the whole
thing. So I was a little like, I don't know.
I lost a lot this year. I had the worst record.
10-6.
Yeah, I had the worst record that I've ever had in our dynasty. I was ready to like just kind of give up.
Fire Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. I was going to fire Matt LaFleur and start fresh the next season.
And then I was like, Andrew, that's you. You're Matt LaFleur. Like if you fire yourself, you're just starting over.
I'm just
like,
quitting the game. I'm not going to play anymore.
Good for you. Good for you finding out what works, sticking to the fundamentals, controlling the clock, controlling the game.
You just got to win in the trenches, man.
It's all about those big boys up front.
How are you going to maintain, though? It seems like the pieces have finally lined up for you, and it can be a little difficult to keep them in those spots. Oh,
I won't. Kenny Clark is going to be gone next year unless I can somehow sign him in free agency.
And Kenny Clark was such an impact fucking player.
And Kenny Clark is my 99 overall defensive lineman. He's the best defensive lineman in the NFL in this game.
Kenny Clark was probably responsible for wiping like 12 points off the board for me. I bet you every single field goal had a run that got stuffed that should have been a first down and then resulted in me having to settle for a field goal. Like, I think Kenny Clark single-handedly probably accounted for 12 points that game.
You guys.
He's the most important player on my defense. And on a defense that has like 590 overall plus defensive backs, Kenny Clark is my best player.
Your guys' strategy to negotiate in the press is one I have not seen before. Seems like giving him opportunities to ask for even more money. But, okay.
Kenny Clark, the Madden version of Kenny Clark hears this podcast.
He wants like, 30 mil a year.
He wants quarterback money. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, but he's older, right? Like, at this point, he's like 30, 31, so.
No, he's not that old. He's like 28, I think.
Oh, shit.
Because real life, Kenny Clark is a baby. The Packers drafted him when he was
he's
like 20.
He's not a baby.
He was like 20 years old when they drafted him. I think he's 24 right now.
Yeah, he's turning 25. And yeah, I guess that would make him around 28. What is he? He's 25 now. He'll be turning 26 next year. So he might be 29 next year. I don't know. I guess. He's probably not going to start regressing until like 32. So you could give him a 3-year deal with big money and be fine.
I mean, that's what he wanted. He wanted a 3-year deal with like $24 million a year.
Feels like you could you maybe needed to do it.
Yeah.
We'll see what you need. Do you have D tackle resign influence?
Yeah.
As a coach package. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, try to snag him in free agency.
I'm probably going to have to trade Jonathan Jones, my cornerback that won me the game in the last play.
Sent you the goddamn Super Bowl.
Yeah.
A one-on-one with the best wide receiver in the NFL. And he fucking not only deflected it, but picked it off to send you to the Super Bowl. And it wasn't a poorly thrown ball. Like, obviously it was all animation-based. Like, the minute I threw it, he kind of got in a different position and Dimitri Hertz didn't quite go up for it in the same way.
Well, okay.
But that's still, like, that's the algorithm. That's, like, the math behind the scenes.
I mean, I'll tell you what happened there. So instead of being behind him and trying to make that contested catch and like maybe deflected, like when you threw that ball, I switched to Jonathan Jones with my finger, my thumb barely touching the stick, and it pulled him off by like maybe a foot, which then put me in front of Dimitri Hertz.
Yeah.
So then when I held triangle, I was fully in front of him, and. Yeah.
But it's all animation based. Like, literally, right. The reason that you end up like jumping fully in front of him instead of like doing that awkward, like he's kind of trying to get there, but the receiver's going to like moss him and shit. That's all just random math in the servers. And Madden servers thought that Jonathan Jones deserved that pick over Dimitri Hertz, like even getting a hand on it and knocking it away or anything. Because that happens too when you aggressive catch, where the receiver starts to play defense and stuff.
I mean, even if they just rolled a 20-sided die, Jonathan Jones has had that situation, like I said, 20 times this year. He finally hit that natty 20 and got that pick. Because he had been mossed on an insane rate throughout this year. Just the law of averages, he had to finally pick that ball off.
Right. Also, 99 overall players are, like, confirmed that they turn clutch. Like, you can rely on them when it's basically game time. So I had a 99 overall quarterback throwing to a 99 overall receiver, and it ended up in a pick. Yeah, it's just Madden. Like, it's fantastic. I cannot complain at all. We've had so many games, and, you know, it feels good.
Hell yeah.
It feels slightly worse, like I said, because now I'm not going to go to the Super Bowl. But honestly, the undefeated streak was over anyway, and I won 4 straight Super Bowl titles. So, can't complain too much.
Do the Lions start calling you a fraud? Do they demand that you get fired?
I swear to God, if anyone in Detroit tarnishes my good name as the greatest coach of all time, the greatest coach who has ever lived by such a margin that it's not even funny. Like,
oh God, that is that a mechanic in Madden? And if it's not, it should be. Just to hear the fucking fair weather fan chatter about how your team and you are doing as a coach.
They don't have fans as a feature. They do have social media as a feature. They have like a ticker where like Matthew Berry and fucking Jonathan people. Coachman, just like random dudes just tweet like, oh man, Dimitri Hertz really left it all on the field, but it wasn't enough. Like, if you started Kai Potts this week, you probably lost your fantasy game. I'm Matthew Berry.
Yeah.
What was it?
It's like, Will LeBlanc is a big sell right now. Don't trust these numbers. And it's like, this dude's won Offensive Player of the Year 3 years running and averages like 1,800 rushing yards a season. He's the most valuable player in fantasy. Maybe Jalen Hurts.
Nah, man. I want a fucking 30-second clip to come on after you lose a game by a very slim margin and just hear, you know, not officially, but very much a conservative small-town talk radio host to say something to the effect of, well, they're just not getting out there and doing their jobs, you know? They're making how much money for this, and they're not...
God, all I'm saying is, you pay me $30 million to throw a ball, I'm going to make that pass.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts put it in the perfect spot, and Dimitri Hurts just had to go up and get it. And you know, like, I think it's just time to move on from the Dimitri Hurts experiment. It's just not panning out. Yeah, no. I mean, we beat you, what? Was it 3 years in a row in the NFC Championship game? So, like... just law of averages, you have to imagine that in the real world, the fans would just be like, I mean, yeah.
No.
Eventually, like, if they just keep meeting up, eventually it's going to happen. Honestly, oh, and we didn't talk about... Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, honestly, at that point, if you're a Detroit Lions fan and, you, and you've won four Super Bowls in a row and haven't lost a game, I don't know why you're watching anymore. Yeah, I don't know if they have fans. It's like, there's no point. What are they going to do?
Honestly, yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, man, like, there's no tension in that game. There's right? no desire was to this... watch and see what happens. Because you Were know what's going Packers? To happen. Like, yeah. there's no point. You've seen this movie for the 10 times. There's no
we can't
point.
Confirm.
Yeah.
Like, they might have been. Like, I just want to feel something again. And they're, like, celebrating in Detroit. Just like, all right, now we've seen that it can happen. We have hit our downfall.
Pepe Le Pew let's finally lost his race, and he's the happiest he's ever been.
Exactly. This might be a legitimate thing. We also didn't talk about the other storyline, which is that Andrew is playing the Indianapolis Colts, who had AFC Offensive Player of the Year, Jacoby Brissett, at quarterback, who is a 73 overall, like, not even a really good... Not a good backup, really. Like, I guess maybe a decent backup. But he's starting for them and won AFC Offensive Player of the Year. Was, like, top three in MVP voting. But the long story is their third string quarterback is Tom fucking Brady.
Oh, my God.
47.
47-year-old Tom Brady, who I signed to a one-week deal week one this year. And moved him to running back and gave him like 50-something yards rushing and another 60 receiving or something. And then was like, okay, this isn't fun. Put him back to quarterback, released him. The Colts fucking picked him up and he's on their team. And if Andrew fucking loses, Tom Brady's going to win another goddamn ring.
Andrew, you have to win.
Madden made Aaron Rodgers retire at 38 and Tom Brady is still playing at 47. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't.
It's absolutely insane.
They may have put in a feature. I'm not going to be surprised if Tom Brady doesn't retire after this year. They may have put a feature that does not allow Tom Brady to retire as like a joke. Someone changed a one to a zero and it just isn't going to happen. Tom Brady's going to be like a 3 overall quarterback at age 84 if we play this season or this
there's
league
a limit.
Long enough. Really?
There's a limit. I don't know if it's 25 or 50, but there's always been limits on Madden Dynasties, how many years you can go. So if it's 25, yeah.
I love that Madden manages to digitally capture Tom Brady's desire to die on the field.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, but yeah, he's not even going to be the field goal holder, which is his last steady gig when he was still on the Buccaneers, because the backup quarterback in Madden defaults to the holder.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even going to be that because he's third string. So like, he's literally just, let's try to get the meme magic. And he hasn't won in how long? Because the Buccaneers win didn't happen in our universe because I won the first year.
Mm-hmm.
How long would it have been then? 6, 7, 8 years since he's won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's so long to go without winning a Super Bowl.
I'm just saying the magic would have somewhat faded. When was his last Super Bowl win? Was it the Falcons?
No, he beat the Rams.
The Rams, yes. Which was in...
2019.
Okay, so 2021... And then 22, 23, 24, 25. I guess only 6 years. That's fair. But still, you know, it's been a little bit.
Huh?
It's been a second.
And this podcast has been a little bit, which means it's time for a clap sync and a move on to the wacky post roll. Dig it.
I like how we talked about video game football for this whole episode.
I mean, what's going on with the regular moment. Football right now?
A lot of people getting cut.
Yeah.
The salary cap decreasing by 8% when most teams expected it to increase by 8% is
it's bad.
Wreaking havoc.
So what What was the argument behind that salary cap decrease? Because it's my understanding.
No ticket sales.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't make money.
Yeah. And so they are going to make tons of money in the future. I mean, like, they've renegotiated TV deals. The NFL is going to be making more money than ever before. I did see someone did the analysis, and if you looked over the past however many years, and the salary cap was supposed to be a representation of basically a percentage of revenue that teams were making, the salary cap this year should have been about $150 million because there was basically no ticket sales.
So,
and which would have been about $40 million less than the salary cap last year. $45 million less than last year. It would have been catastrophic. It's already bad, the salary cap going down. The salary cap staying the same would have been bad. The salary cap going down by like 10 or so million dollars, and it's like $15 million actually, that's really bad. If it went down by like $40 million, the NFL would have been on fire.
So is this just the ultimate example of the NFL prioritizing short-term profits or loss mitigation over the long-term stability of their organization?
I mean,
there's no long-term stability issues. Like, yeah, they're just going to be making more money, and the salary cap will just go up next year.
Yeah,
like,
in theory, the salary cap next year should be like way higher than it is this year.
Yeah, it's negotiated every year with the NFL Players Association, and the NFL Players Association agreed to. Their hard stance was like 180 million.
Yeah, and it's
and
like
they got it to like 182.
Yeah,
so like they got it higher than they were actually targeting the NFLPA. And next year they'll just negotiate it higher than it is right now. I mean, it's basically just, in theory, it doesn't hurt the overall players. Like, in theory, this just could give more players a chance to make a roster that normally wouldn't, or give more players a chance to, like, prove themselves on a lower amount but shorter deal, and then get a longer term deal for a lot more money later.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of players that normally, like, who are hitting free agency that normally would have signed for 3 or 4 year deals making decent money, who are now going to be forced to probably sign either like at a lower amount or just 1 year deals, and then in 2022 they're going to hit free agency again and then make just a killing.
The idea is basically like it's kind of a trade-off because say a player is like pretty good. He's like starter caliber.
Yeah.
Like he's 27, so like, you know, he's at the peak of where you would expect him to be. Maybe he takes another step, but you never know. And he's just always been a starter. A player like that, a team might offer, like, depending on their position, like 4 years, $7 million a year, like, you know, solid player, contributor, not crazy money though. Instead, they're not going to be able to have a lot of those mid players, so he might sign to a team for like 1 year, $3.5 million, which is like half the money now. But then say he does take that next step and like makes his first Pro Bowl or an All-Pro team or something like that, all of a sudden next year he's only 1 year older, so a team probably still could be offering, yeah, like a 4 or 5 year deal for like $13 million a year. And it's just, and all of these players want to bet on themselves.
Right.
Everyone, to get to that level of professional football, you have to be 100% like confident and assured of how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
So they all believe that they are going to take that step and make fucking money.
And that,
so really,
guy,
it's
that,
just, you'll take it.
That guy that signed for a 1 year, you know, cheap deal, who was a solid contributor, might be an every down starter now because that team that he signed to had to cut 5 veterans who are making too much money in order to get under the salary cap. So now he's one of the most important players on the team.
Yeah.
Next year, he's going to sign for a huge contract.
Okay.
But you're also going to see the balance of power in the NFL shift slightly because of this. There's not going to be good teams before that are now going to be bad teams, and there's not going to be teams that were awful that are now Super Bowl contenders, but you are going to see the majority of the high-priced free agents signed to a couple of teams that have a ton of cap space. The Jets, the Jaguars, the Colts, the Browns, the Dolphins. Those teams have cap space. Whereas teams like the Chiefs, the Rams, the Saints. The Eagles, like even the Packers. Like the Packers have a clear path to clearing a lot of money, but there's a lot of teams that are currently over the cap and are going to need to, or have already cut a bunch of players that were good, that were just making too much money, and are going to have to continue to cut more good, high-paid players just to operate as a football team. This is not going to help them be better. They just have to get rid of good players in order to keep playing to get under the salary cap.
So this
and those free agents are going to sign either on cheap one-year deals for Super Bowl contenders or to high-priced contracts with shitty teams who are now going to be much better than they had any right to be before because they're the only team with the money to pay these players.
So this is less... This is less the players are getting the are getting the short end of the stick of there not being nearly any ticket sales last year and more, okay, well, this is the first time in a while the NFL has done any kind of, I don't even know if belt tightening is the right expression, just putting a notch in that belt and buckling that belt instead of just letting it continue to expand, and nobody's quite sure, well, maybe not even that. People are kind of scrambling to figure out how to make the most of this.
No. Okay. I mean, it's just tweaking. Yeah. And it's, if this salary cap restriction did become permanent, then yeah, it would be terrible for players in the long term. But like Andrew said, it's just going to explode next year to make up for lost time, basically. So yeah, like this is a net, honestly, probably a net positive for the players. At the very least, a net neutral for the players. So... for this season, there might be some players that would have been on a roster that will not be able to be on a roster. But like in the long term, it's really not going to be much of a net loss.
The only negative you could really see from the players' perspective, I mean, a huge negative, I guess, is yeah, they're not making the kind of massive money right now that they wish that they were. But for younger players that are going to free agency for the first time or second time, and they have to delay that big payday, the negative is at any point in your NFL career, you could tear your ACL and your career is completely derailed.
Yeah.
And so like Aaron Jones is almost certainly going to hit free agency, and he still might sign to a team and get a big contract, but let's say he had to settle for a one-year deal and he's making $8 million a year instead of the like 14 that he wants. And if he makes it through the season, has a good year, stays healthy, he can sign again next year for a huge contract. If he tears his ACL, next year he's going to have to sign another one-year deal again. It's probably going to be cheaper. He's going to have to prove himself again. There's always that risk, and like every single year.
Exactly. And the NFLPA isn't going to look at it as, oh, we need to protect Aaron Jones specifically.
Right.
They're going to look at it as, if Aaron Jones gets hurt, which would suck, you know, like that's not something you ever want in the league. His backup all of a sudden is getting a ton of exposure. Like maybe they have to go into free agency and pick up a running back off the streets who, you know, is like a somewhat proven guy. Mm-hmm. And then that guy gets a contract. It's always a
going to
neutral.
Get, yeah.
Yeah.
It might be bad for one individual player, but the league as a whole is going to be fine. The player, there's going to be some player that is going to get money down the line because of an injury. And it sucks that it works like that, but that is just how it works.
And you just really hope that everyone's living within their means,
just
in case. The minute you retire and know how much money you live off for the rest of your life, time to start living that lifestyle.
Yeah.
While you're playing, man, I don't know, just
save.
Live within your means. You never know when the next snap will be your last. Like, you can spend on yourself. You work hard, but like, just fucking always have enough. If you got like $3 million in the bank, you'll be able to live comfortably. You can maybe do coaching and stuff.
If you're gonna spend a lot of money, use it on solid assets. You know, buy a house. You know. Sure, get a car. Maybe don't get like three of them. Like.
Go get three Bugattis.
Yeah.
Listen, man, like, you were basically living in a studio apartment when you were playing in college. Like, is it really going to hurt you to live in that for, like, three more years, basically?
A studio apartment. An apartment.
Yeah.
You can buy a, like, two-bedroom condo and live in that for a while and, you know, like, just saving money, like, It's boring, but like in the grand scheme of things, you're probably only going to be playing for 5 to 10 years. If you're lucky, more than that. Like,
yeah,
this is your earning time. And after that, you can get a good financial advisor and be like, here's how you live on this fixed income for the next 50 years of your life. We're going to make sure that this money doesn't run out. You can do whatever you want in the meantime. You can coach. You can just travel. You can just like fucking live your life. So there's a lot at stake. And there's a lot on the line, obviously, mm-hmm. too, where you it could be the difference between generational wealth and just, you know, yourself living comfortably for the rest of your life. Yeah. But
now I know yeah. what you're thinking. Condo Association's going to throw a fit, a celebrity moving into the neighborhood. Think you're going to be throwing parties all the time. But you just sit down, have a nice cup of coffee with Pam. Let her know you're a chill dude. You're fine. No issue.
Meanwhile, yeah. you buy a property on the outskirts of town that you rent out to your friends, so you're making that investment back, and you use that as your base of operations for parties.
Your friend's house.
Well, no, it's your house. It's your property. You're making a profit off. You're making a profit off that property, and then you also use that for your partying needs.
You're just a slumlord for your friends. You've got your posse, your crew that's been with you from the beginning. Like, they always got your back.
You got your day ones. You want to keep them around, show them some
your
love.
Fall guys. Mm. But at the same time, you know, like, the hustle's real. And, you know, they're going to have to pay $800 a month in rent.
They're going to see that and think, wow, this is cheaper than the market average of this town. Meanwhile, you're still making a huge profit. Making not as big of a profit as the rest of the guys. And then you also keep those guys loyal to you. If you need a body hidden, they're gonna do that shit for you. You know that.
Even though they don't work because they're part of your posse. I don't know how they're paying rent. They're just part of your entourage. Are you paying them and then they pay that back to you in rent?
They have a very successful enterprise selling pot. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great. That's something you want to get embroiled in.
We didn't have income in college. We were playing for free. We had to make that money somewhere. Don't blame me for that. And then, yeah, we kept the tools of the trade. It's all good.
Thank you all so much for listening to the 241st episode of the Quarantine Cast. If you liked what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram and YouTube, where we have some fantastic highlights made by Andrew Clark. Remember Isaac Newton? We roast that motherfucker. Kinda. Send us your questions and business opportunities at voluntaryviewing@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @V2_podcast. Support us on Patreon if you're feeling generous. Also, check out the ActBlue link in the description if you want to help a collection of great causes. And last but not least, follow me @LucasDeWriter on Twitter to keep up with all of my writing. I lied. That's not the last thing. The last thing is that I hope you all have a great weekend and best of luck out there.